Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, happy St. Pat's Day. I've always loved the Irish and admired the snake-conquering legend of Patrick. But if the goose hissing and honking I'm hearing from some on the Emerald Isle is indicative of the general sentiment of our friends in the land of saints and scholars, well, you know, so Pitts addresses a group of Irish visitors with a top of the morning, and the Twitterverse explodes with rants about nobody says that anymore. Well, okay, and an Irish guy in his 80s here says it, and others I've met say it, as do many Irish folk who settled here. I mean, you know, and they say it exactly like they are extending an Irish expression into our culture. So, you know, returning the greeting is sort of like accepting some Irishness in our culture, isn't it? And, you know, if the last generation of the Irish are saying it, it's not that ancient a saying, is it? So it is an Irishism, and we find it pleasing. Top of the morning to you, and the rest of the day to you. So I'm not sure what all the fuss is about. Yes, some of our Irish friends are sensitive to these, I'll admit, stereotypical tip-of-the-hat type gestures. I guess we were not aware of that you would be so thin-skinned. Okay, I have some listeners in Ireland, and you are welcome to straighten me out on this. But really, Huff Post posts an article showing tweets from Irish folk whose nose got all bent, all aghast, over the lack of head on Ryan's, pint of Guinness. I don't have the accent. Pint of Guinness. Held up as a gesture of goodwill toward our friends on the Emerald Green Island, with contrasting pictures of Obama holding a right pint next to Ryan holding a flat pint with digs, you know, that range from fake brews. Cute. That, by the way, from Naomi O'Reilly. Her real name is O'Leary. But she has her moniker, Naomi O'Reilly. O'Reilly. Despising Pence's top of the morning comment and Ryan's flat pint gesture as, listen, quote, grave missteps by the United States, end quote. Really? Not like Obama dissing the prime minister of Israel, leaving him to cool his heels for an hour after Obama abruptly walked out of a meeting, or when Obama surreptitiously directed funds to an organization in Israel dedicated to unseat Netanyahu, you know, a little interference with a sovereign nation's elections, you know, or when, after Netanyahu beat back Obama's efforts to undermine him, refused to call and congratulate Netanyahu for his victory, something like, what was it, 6 days or more after the election? That's kind of a, oh, that's unheard of. And these are all purposed personal insults to a head of state and an ally, by the way. And we're only just now getting started. I mean, good night, his effrontery to the Queen of England, juxtaposed to his sycophant behavior, bowing deeply before the King of Saud. Hey, Naomi, oh, really? But Pence, attempting an apparently out-of-fashion Irish greet, and Ryan, attempting an Irish gesture of goodwill. I mean, you saw the picture, by the way, of Kate Middleton's glass of the black stuff, didn't you? The head on her glass didn't look any more heady than Ryan's, but, well, Katie's a neighbor of Ireland there, so anyway, I don't know what's going on here. Pence and Ryan, albeit not perfectly, attempt to express a genuine gesture of hospitality to our Irish guests and citizens and on St. Patrick's Day, and these, according to Naomi, are, quote, grave missteps by the United States, end quote. And then following up on this tweet, she obliges us with a picture of Obama holding a pint with a full head. And the tweet, quote, here's Obama's pint for comparison, one of the many areas he excelled in, end quote. Oh, there it is. So I guess we understand her motivation. Look, I'll admit, I think Obama was rather good at drinking beer. Frankly, I'm pleased Ryan doesn't know a whole lot about what the head should look like on a draw of guineas. But hey, Naomi, oh really? I think Obama was much more effective as an America as founded deconstructionist, don't you? But we all have our levels of concern. Anyway, Naomi O'Reilly's tweets opened a thread and provoked some serious conversation. So important, by the way, that Huffington Post put an article together around this, you know, around this tweet, built around the tweet. Yeah. And one responded saying, you know, quote, Paul Ryan has brought shame upon our flag, end quote. Really? Good night. And that from someone dubbed Southpaw, little dog and everything. And Tad Boomer's quip, you know, quote, it looks like tap water from Flint. Oh, I don't know. This guy might be slapping the Dems here. That seems like a slap in the back of the head of the Dems. Remember the demon crack controlled Flint, Michigan lead poison water debacle? But O'Reilly's fondness for Obama suggests she's a Dem. And anyway, not sure about Boomer's political orientation. Maybe he's a Republican in Dem drag or the reverse. And then there's this one. Quote, he's holding it like it's a woman's health issue, end quote. What in the world is she talking about? That's Ms. Everson. I guess you see something in the picture I miss. Anyway, I'm not going to read through all of the tweets in this thread, even though it really isn't many, about 19 in all. One tweeted that the pint looked like it had been pulled an hour or so earlier, and so the head flattened by the time Ryan picked it up, and that's probably what happened. Apparently, this is very serious stuff, my friend. Naomi O'Reilly got about 18 people to join her in comments on her thread. Wow, that must mean all of Ireland is in an uproar over this. At least that's what you think if you read the Huffington Post. Thank you, Rush. The headline of their article is, quote, Twitter drags Paul Ryan over his awful pint of guineas, end quote. Really? So the Huffington Post drags the dregs of the Twitterverse and finds exactly one thread consisting of, I think, a total of 20 posts that means Twitter is abuzz over this. Really, all of Ireland is in an uproar. I'm sure friends don't believe it. Our Irish brothers and sisters are not so thin-skinned as the left over here would have you to believe. Obama was such a disaster in the way he treated our allies. I guess these guys are trying to find a way they can make it out that Trump's team is bungling our foreign relations with our allies in similar fashion. But it's nonsense. Did Trump quote a Nigerian poet thinking that it was an Irish proverb? You've got to be kidding me. First, my friend, he didn't introduce this as an Irish proverb. And second, if that was his intent, the context suggests it. I'll take that misstep any day over forgetting the national motto repeatedly and failing on more than one occasion to quote the Declaration of Independence correctly. I mean, was Obama quoting some communist poet thinking that he was quoting the American Declaration of Independence? After all, the communists, you know, are always squawking about equal rights to everybody. Of course, we know that neither Obama nor the left generally believe our rights come from God. And for this reason, they have a very different idea of rights and liberty, something we'll talk about a little later. Okay, so I thought that since this is St. Patrick's Day, I should try to shout above the noise of the likes of Huffy's post. Don't be concerned, my dear Irish friends. We know there is much more to you than a pint of guineas. And your ability to see past an innocent, wholly unintentional slight of anyone's sensitivities about Irish stereotypes. We love you, Ireland. And I know I speak for many millions of Americans. I certainly will not forget how you stood up for us on and after 9/11, how you wept with us and reached out to comfort a deeply wounded nation. Whether Trump's proverb was written by an Irishman, the sentiment expressed was certainly written in my heart by an Irish tongue when we watched Ireland stand up for us on and after 9/11. And so I think Trump's choice was a perfect proverb indeed to describe my own sentiments towards you. Indeed, we must remember to forget those friends who have proved false and never forget to remember those that have stayed true. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
You are called.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheibach's mind. If you've got a piece of Pastor's mind stuck in your throat, there's only one way to get it out. Call 888-770-8000 and give him as big a piece of your own mind as you can find. Call 888-770-8000 and don't worry, Pastor Scheibach can take it. Call 888-770-8000 and leave your message during the break. Your brain massage will continue in just a moment. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating... Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind. Massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps, the church belfry arch, singing the enemy is on the march, and anybody that would steal from us our liberties. Did Obama order wiretaps on Trump Tower? How about the Kucinich claim that he was bugged? Way to go, Spicer. Going to be difficult for the media to play their games with Trump in the White House. He'll just slap back. That's good. I don't know about you, but I'm loving this. It's the sort of thing that used to frustrate me to no end. The MSM would pull some nonsense along these lines. You know, they report the Trump Tower was wiretapped. I think it was to give credibility to their allegations that Trump's campaign was in cahoots with Russia. Well, then it backfires on them when Trump says, oh, really? Well, then I guess we'll have to investigate that. And then it's all, where's your proof? Weird. Of course, they do the dance, you know. Well, actually, the New York Times did not say President Obama ordered the wiretapping. And after all, it wasn't exactly wiretapping that took place, right? Other forms of surveillance were used. And all the other technical bobs and weaves that go on with these characters. Well, Trump tends to sort of abbreviate things and reduce them to their simplest terms. Besides, he read the headline, the New York Times, quote, wiretap data used in inquiry of Trump aides, end quote. And the context was about the issue of whether or not his campaign operatives were involved speaking to Russia and so on. These characters go on and on about no evidence. The New York Times stipulated the data used in the inquiry about Trump's campaign team having correspondence with Russia was obtained by wiretap. So it seems like a fair assumption to me. The wiretaps were used to gain access to this data anyway. Will Trump sue MSNBC for illegally releasing his tax records? Someone needs to hold these Yahoos accountable for their illegal actions, but we aren't going to go there today. No time. Let's look at progress on the Affordable Health Care Act and Trump's budget. We know why the Dibs don't want to move on the repeal of Obamacare, but why do the Gopers hesitate to take action on some of the things we sent them expressly to do? I mean, like, repeal Obamacare already. Feels like betrayal, doesn't it, somewhat? Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus over a dispute about taking care of the poor. And how about that Trump budget? Well, first, a quick update in the Obamacare repeal effort. I've never had so much trouble getting the text of a bill under consideration as I have had getting a look at the full text of the GOP's repeal and replace bill since Pelosi told us we had to pass Obamacare so we can find out what's in it. So first question, what's the deal here? Why can't I find a copy of the bill so, you know, one I could download and examine and work with? The only one I found was posted by CNN. It doesn't allow me to print or copy or download that file. And then on the official site for the House, it was removed for some reason. Apparently, there's some infighting going on between the conservatives and the conservatives over this bill. And maybe that's why they pulled it from the site. Let's hope they post it for public examination before they vote on it. Let's hope we don't have to pass the bill so we can find out what's in it. What I understand is that Trump has come out strongly in support of the bill after a meeting in which I understand a few provisions were tweaked to satisfy Trump, some of the conservatives who want a clean break from Obamacare, but keeping some of the provisions that the gopers want to satisfy them. Apparently, they are going to preserve the Medicaid expansion provision of Obamacare through 2020. And they're going to continue the tax subsidies for those who buy insurance in the independent market. And I guess that means those that are not enrolled in the Obamacare system. The tax credits for those who earn less than $75,000 or 150 joint filers will remain in place. Tax credits for those above this threshold are going to phase downward to zero. So you can see why so many conservatives look at this and call it Obama light, Obamacare light. Now, why is Trump happy with this bill? Why is he 100% behind it, as it's suggested that he has said? Why does he not lean on Republican leadership to get serious and simply repeal this bill? Two things. First, he believes it's a good first step. It's what he can get right now. And that the other matters of concern to us will come later. You know, all good things come to those that wait. Maybe that's a Nigerian poem. I'm sure it's not an Irish proverb. Perhaps it is. Or something a parent thought up to keep their kids settled down while they're waiting in line, a Peter Pan ride. But what are some of these things we have to wait for? Eliminating the rule that prohibits insurers from selling over state lines. Of course, that's ridiculous in the first place. And the rule prohibiting the government from using its purchasing power to negotiate better drug prices. Why not encourage competition, which would itself do more to drive down prices than anything else that could be done? Trump said he's working on this. He said that the elimination of the state lines rule, quote, will be in phase 2 and 3 of healthcare rollout, end quote. But why do we have to wait? The GOP want to put these changes into place through reconciliation. I've explained that process before and won't take time to do it now, except to say reconciliation rules prohibit introducing new legislation into an existing bill. They can deal with what's already there, but they can't introduce anything new. By using reconciliation, by the way, they are able to pass the bill without needing a two-thirds majority to overcome a filibuster. So it makes sense. Now, one thing I will ask you to remember as you pray for Trump and the conservatives attempting to right this dangerously leaning ship of state, Trump is on record saying, quote, everybody's got to be covered. This is an un-Republican thing for me to say, end quote. Oh, really? Republicans don't want everyone to be covered. Well, that's interesting. He must mean everybody is going to be covered by government. No, that can't be. Well, not to find a point on it, but if Trump means everybody's got to be covered and he does not believe the government is the responsible party to make that happen, then, well, that's something every Republican would want. All right. Anyway, remember, Trump said, quote, we're going to have insurance for everybody, end quote. He said, quote, there's a philosophy in some circles that if you can't pay for it, you don't get it. That's not going to happen with us, end quote. But he is right. A Republican way of looking at this is to say we want everyone to be able to afford it. And unleashing the powerful invisible hand, Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, trusting in Providence, George Washington, that when we do right, we get what's best. And you can't have what's best until you're willing to do what's right. Or in other words, I'm concerned that down deep in Trump's heart, there might be some remnants of that notion that government needs to take care of the poor. And this is something Judas types have used in betrayal of truth, since Judas used it as an excuse to betray Jesus Christ. Almost every travesty of tyranny has been perpetrated upon the poor, upon the excuse of giving them a helping hand from the government. It seems that perhaps Trump has at least one eye on the poor who can't afford to purchase health insurance. All right. Well, like a compassionate guy. Let's hope the way he wants to help them, however, is, that they can afford it. By introducing the principle of free market competition in the workplace to give greater employment opportunities to American workers, and then greater competition in the healthcare industry to bring down the price of healthcare, including pharmaceuticals. And let's hope he desires to reduce the burden of the government on wealth to encourage more private investment in charitable works. All right, let's move toward the deep massage for the show today. Why are so many in Congress, both houses, reluctant to do what really needs to be done to correct course on the ship of state away from the shoals of total destruction and ruin financially? In some measure, it's because they're conflicted about what to do about the poor. At least this is what they tell us. And there are many who are great at manipulating this issue to gain control of others and manipulate them into doing what will certainly bring this nation to ruin. Manipulating concern for the poor is something Judas used as an excuse to justify betraying Jesus. And it's something many modern-day Judas types use today to betray us. You see, the question is not what should be done to help the poor. The question needs to be what should be done to do what's right. And that's the best way to help the poor. If concern for the poor motivates someone to do what is wrong to be done, this always ends up hurting the poor more and ultimately destroying the economy for everyone. Perhaps you've noticed that the poor do much better in a strong economy, eh? What the arrogant in Washington fail to understand is that their focus needs to be on doing what is right, trusting God to dispense His goodness. You can't do the best thing for the poor if you refuse to do the right thing before God. Look, Trump's budget probably reflects better the right way to operate a government than anything I've seen yet here in America. Christ ordained government to execute wrath upon evildoers. Government is tasked primarily with the responsibility to wield the sword of vengeance. The major part of taxes ought to be used to provide for the common defenses. So $54 billion for Pentagon and defense is a good idea. And to protect our borders and some billions there would be good. And the peace and safety of our people. And, you know, where duty requires, we must put our sword to the defense of those who are drawn unto death and ready to be slain. That's what the Bible says. We ought to stand on the side of those who truly desire to breathe free and willing to sacrifice on behalf of those oppressed by tyrants. I think that is the proper role of government. Government is not tasked with the job of feeding us or clothing us or housing us or for providing our health insurance or educating us, by the way. These responsibilities are given to the family primarily and to the church as a collection of families. So here's the point. We've got lawmakers who think they are responsible to make sure we eat, have clothing, housing, health insurance, and education. Oh, and don't forget Obama phones. And that's wrong for the government to intrude itself into these affairs, except insofar as to protect the community from those that defraud their neighbors. And here's the thing. Folks, no matter what policy anyone implements, some will benefit and some will lose. That's true of every single economy we've ever had. Some people do well, some people don't. It just changes for certain people. There are probably not quite as many people who benefited from Obamacare as who lost by it. But the fact is, there are a great many people who have found a way to benefit from Obamacare. They will lose if Obamacare is repealed. Others win, some. That's just the way it goes. Now, follow my logic here. If you repeal Obamacare, I guarantee you, some people are going to benefit from that repeal, and some people are going to lose in that repeal. Just as it happened the other way. Some people won in the establishment of Obamacare, and some people lost. It's always going to be the way. If McDonald's goes all computers and eliminates a lot of teller positions, well, those who depend on those jobs for income are going to lose, at least until they find something else. McDonald's, on the other hand, and their millions of investors and the millions who eat McDonald's foods, all of these will benefit. So in every move government makes, someone, you know, benefits and someone doesn't. You can't do anything that doesn't involve someone winning and someone losing. In every circumstance, I mean in war, in peace, you name it, people make adjustments to the environment or to the circumstances in which they find themselves, and they find a way to turn it to an advantage while others are unable to do that or unwilling to make the sacrifices necessary to do it. In other words, the government cannot be focused on this life dynamic. Whenever they inject themselves into that realm, they're putting themselves in the place of God in the people's lives, and that's the problem. And they're invariably going to create problems for one class while benefiting another. Only in this case, they decide. Instead of providence. Therefore, the government cannot act in view of helping the poor. They can only justly act in view of doing what's right within the purview of their responsibility. Every single time the government tries to inject itself into the social arena, apart from the execution of justice, in the equal enforcement of laws that are limited to the protection of each person's liberty to exercise their God-given rights, the government creates inequity and fosters iniquity every time. Why? Because the government can never be big enough, strong enough, rich enough, or wise enough to take God's place in our lives. The government needs to focus on its divinely appointed role. And then we need to take up our responsibilities to God and to one another, to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. So it comes down to a differing view of justice. The liberals, and many on the right also, by the way, think that justice and liberty involves the government in making certain everyone has, quote-unquote, equal rights, which to them, it appears, means equality in the enjoyment of this world's goods. But, of course, that never happens. There will always be someone who enjoys more of this world's goods than another. And communism, the system invented on the idea that everyone should be equal in this way, produced one of the most unequal and oppressed societies in world's history. In fact, that is what always happens when a government decides it's going to inject itself into those affairs God has reserved to remain between him and the individual. True justice and liberty, what's that? Consider liberty. Liberty is the freedom to exercise your God-endowed, unalienable rights. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Liberty requires the government itself to refrain from any actions of coercion that would interfere with anybody's personal freedom to exercise their God-given, unalienable rights. And what is justice? Well, justice is the actions taken by government to protect the free exercise of everyone's individual liberties. Government has absolutely no business protecting the rights of homosexuals to commit sodomy or to force their neighbors into performing or participating in marriage between them. Why? Well, there is no inalienable right to homosexuality. Homosexuality is a sin and a disease-ridden lifestyle that's killing these people for whom Christ died on the cross. Just like there is no inalienable right to adultery, for heaven's sake, there's no inalienable right to lie to your neighbor. And in the same way, there's no inalienable right to murder. My point is that government needs to remain focused on activity that is within the limits of its divine commission given in Romans 13. The government cannot inject itself into the business of feeding us, clothing us, housing us without necessarily encroaching upon individual liberties. It's impossible. Listen, the government cannot feed anyone with any food it does not by force take from someone else. It cannot provide health care to anyone without taking resources from someone else to pay for it. It's impossible, therefore, for government to do these things without turning its powers against the individual personal liberties of its citizens. And once government has been perverted into thinking that actions which violate personal liberty are justified by the good it intends to do with that violation, say, to help the poor, it begins playing God in other areas, such as in the area of morality. Here's the wrap. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And specifically in that context, he's talking about food, clothing, shelter. And then the Lord's churches were given the blessing of healing. If someone's sick, they should call for the elders of the church to anoint him with oil and pray over him for healing. God uses physicians like Luke, the beloved physician. There's certainly a place for medicine. You know, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And we're told to work with our own hands so that we can provide for our own and for the poor, by the way. And when these things are left to the province in which God placed them, his blessings flow. Now, I got to close, but I'm having trouble here because I feel like I just got started. Look, do you see it? The poor, Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always, and there will be many opportunities to do them good, and we should. Judas was offended because he felt an extravagant offering to Jesus was wasting resources that should have gone to the poor. He didn't like the way that rich woman used her resources, you see. He used this offense to attempt to create division among the disciples and as an excuse to betray Jesus. It is interesting how the left and many gopers use the plight of the poor to betray the truth, claiming they're concerned about the poor, but they never really help the poor, do they? They only make it worse. You will only make their condition worse if you attempt to use them to manipulate divisions in this country and use them to express your resentment about how the rich use their resources. You decide to betray the truth. That's what happens. Truth gets betrayed every time. When the truth is this, people need to be encouraged to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that will do more to end poverty problems in any community than anything else we can do. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call, let me know you see that they are on. Say, lights on when you call if you agree with me, lights off if you disagree. A few have gotten clever and they say the lights are blinking. They agree somewhat, they disagree in other areas, stuff like this. Okay, anyway, call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Or go to brainmassage.net. That's our new website, brainmassage.net. You'll find there a place to send me an email. You'll also see there a place to send us a donation. Help the Lighthouse Baptist Church as it bears the cost of these broadcasts and to a great measure. But we really do need some help from our community. If you're listening to this show and you enjoy it, then send us a gift to help us with broadcast costs. If you're in a hurry when you call, by the way, you can just say lights on or lights off and hang up. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.